Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right, we're recording. So, hi.
We're back.
Oh, hello, we're back.
We're back.
Kind of under different circumstances.
Very much so.
Tomo, when was the last time we released a podcast? You just had a look off...
The last one we did was social media with Blake Harrison on the 20th of May. That's when it was released.
20th of May.
20th
and
of
we
May,
wouldn't
19.
I think we recorded that probably about maybe a year ago now-ish, because it was when we had the flat in London, wasn't it? So it was between me doing Clink, because remember we watched Clink episode one there, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then me going on to get that other job, and obviously you going on to get your... Sky Atlantic job in Atlantic.
Sky One. I'm not quite on your level yet, baby. You're Atlantic.
Well, you know.
Sky One. You know.
But yeah, so we've been busy, guys. We are sorry that we've not been about as much as we wanted to, but we've now found ourselves in a predicament where none of us are busy again, unfortunately. As is not a lot of people, and I hope. You know, Tom will join me in with this, I guess. I hope everyone's doing all right. I genuinely hope that you're staying in and doing the best that you can, if you can stay in, obviously. And if you're a key worker, I hope that you're safe and well. And thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, God, yeah. I know it's really, really tough for the people who, you know, who are still going out and working and putting themselves at risk. And you know what? It's kind of nice. Obviously, I'm only going out as and when I absolutely have to. But what I have noticed when you go into the supermarkets, you know, it might be a pain in the ass having to stand in the cold for the one-in-one-out thing. But at the end of the day, it is essential and it's what we need to do. And you know what's really, really nice is this staff now. I've noticed that at my local Aldi, if any of them are listening, that I say thank you to them every time I see them anyway. But they know that me collectively, along with the whole nation, are just, you know, we're all super, super, super proud of you. And it's, you know, I know the NHS rightly are getting a lot of attention for the hard work that they're doing. But, you know, these key workers in the stores and things, you know, as long as they know that what they're doing is not going unnoticed as well. So,
yeah. And I guess that's the point of this episode as well. Obviously, as always, you clicked the title, you've seen the subject. We've got one of our oldest friends, Vicky McClure,
which is a mint episode as well, because like we've been wanting this for so long, but obviously Vicky's been really busy and we've been really busy, and it's just so it's such a lovely down to earth chat. Like she's one of, you know, she's one of the industry's good people, you know. She's so lovely, down to earth, and anyone who's listening who's had the pleasure of working with her know how professional she is and how great she's at a job and how good she is with people in the street and things like that. So it was really, really lovely to have Vicky on and talk about what she's been doing, you know, during the quarantine and things like that. And I think this episode's such a positive message, you know, to let people know that if you are just sitting and watching reruns of Game of Thrones or This Is England, or, you know, I'm not just quoting all of my credits there, by the way, you know.
or maybe you're watching Eden Lake or Summerstown, or
Eden Lake or Summerstown, or Swimming with Men or Avengement that is available on Netflix at the moment. You know, maybe just having a full-blown 4-month Turgus fix, which, you know,
that's what I'm doing.
No,
I've spoken to you so much in the last sort of week. It's been brilliant because we're back doing this, and that's always why we did it as well. I wanted to spend to time with each other, and obviously we're and we're doing that even though it's virtual.
The audience can see us. They can see what we're
see
what we're wearing.
If you are listening to this on Spotify and that, because you are a listener and you get them little pings to your phone when there's a new episode, thank you. However, you know, we're having to record on Skype now, so it just made sense for us to film them as well and get them on YouTube. It's something that we've spoke about in the past, wanting to make a video podcast as well, isn't it? Because of the situation, technology has, one, forced us to do it, and two, allowed us to do it. So we're on YouTube now. If you'd rather switch over there and watch it.
So when episode 1 or 2, Kieran Griffith said that technology is overrated, how wrong was he now?
How's he feeling now? He's in Australia, our Kieran.
He's in Australia.
He's in Australia, bless him.
I know, he's a dream. Doing well, keeping well.
That's it. Well, but the thing is, you know, that's, you do our podcast, and you see how well you do, T. You know,
and you just, you know, you go global off the back of the podcast.
Go global.
If there's any listeners. And also, just going back to what we was previously asking you before, if you can, you know, rate and subscribe and things like that, rate us on iTunes and stuff, that really, really does help us, doesn't it? I mean, Andy, as you all know, is very much the tech geek of this whole thing.
Well, I mean, so you've been pulling your weight now, surprisingly. You've hooked up a lot of guests and that, and you've worked out Skype and stuff. So I don't think you can say that anymore, mate. I think we're kind of, you know.
Well, you know what you're doing when it comes to reviews and subscribing. I don't know what all that means.
Yeah. And as well, I just want to say a special thank you to the people on the Patreon. I know some people. We did pause it for a while, and then I just couldn't work out to pause it kind of indefinitely. There is a few people there who have, you know, kind of been putting a bit in, and we'll do some special stuff on the Patreon, definitely. It's patreon.co.uk/overratedeverything or something like that. But we'll find that out.
And we'll put a link out there.
Yeah, and we were saying today, you know, anything that we kind of make off the back of the podcast for the next, you know, month or 2 months or however long we're in this situation, we're gonna, you know, try and donate that to causes, whether it be the NHS or, you know, local food banks and stuff like that. We wanna help in what way we can. And we say that in this chat, really, with Vicky coming up, don't we? Like, you know, we kind of powerless as thespians, that we haven't got the skill set to be out saving lives or whatever. So if we can help, we can entertain, and if you guys can help and chip in a bit, and we'll make sure that money's put to a bit of good use for now, I guess, because we don't need money in the podcast at the moment, because we're sat at home in our bedrooms with a laptop.
But, well, without further ado,
let's get on to Vicky. And Vicky's subject is going out is overrated.
I guess it's going out and feeling guilty about doing nothing.
And to be honest, we just wanted this episode to be, you know, guys, stay at home. More than anything, just to reiterate that message that social distancing can work, can flatten the curve or whatever the scientific saying is. I knew better than LOL from This Is England to tell you.
Nation's
and if
favorite.
You don't stay in, she'll fucking beat you up.
I love it. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Morning!
This time off.
Aye.
And loving the big jumper, Vicky. We were texting yesterday, weren't we? And texting? Till about 4 in the afternoon, I was still sat there in my big fluffy jumper.
Not showered.
And still in my pajamas. Whenever anyone sees them pajamas, they're all like, why are you wearing Charlotte's pajamas? I'm like, they're mine. I actually went to text. I went out of my way to get my own fluffy pajamas.
Because when you're going that. That's like big, massive, fleecy hoodie. I got one from my sister at Christmas, and it's a dangerous thing to own.
Oh, it really is, isn't it? Because once you get in it in the morning, you're just like,
that's it. You don't get out of it. Yeah.
I know.
Well, that's all right nowadays, isn't it? To sit in something like that.
It's
like
now,
what you've got on now, that looks really comfy and cozy.
I mean, there's just no need for sort of like any kind of restrictive clothing at the minute, is there?
Oh, let me show you what I've been wearing this morning.
Oh, my God.
What's that?
I don't know what's he doing.
What's he doing?
It's like a skeleton onesie.
Did you have this on with the kids?
We did the Joe Wicks this morning, dressed up with the kids, yeah. But
of course it was fancy dress this morning, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was good.
Joe Wicks. He's doing so well with the thing, isn't he?
Yeah,
and he's not profiting. Yeah, he's...
No.
Yeah, he's donating everything he earns straight to the. I know he's like, ooh, ooh.
Donating
everything to the charity, isn't he? But Channel 4 are trying to help him out with it, getting it on TV. Because I think that'll be a bigger platform for him. Because obviously at the minute it's only on YouTube, so people who haven't got smart TV.
Oh, is it not on telly?
No, it's on YouTube.
Right, I thought it was on telly. I mean, obviously I've not done it, so.
I've done zero exercise during this quarantine. Like,
I've done two jobs.
Have you done another job? Have you? Did you jog again today?
No, but like effectively over this 2 weeks, I've done two jobs.
How many
have you running for, Vic?
Oh, you know, time.
how much would you jog if we weren't in quarantine?
I don't think I'd have gone for a jog.
So there you go. So at least one a week on average now.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'm doing really well. But I did see a few things on Instagram where people are like, you know, suddenly there's like a load more runners. Mm. And I was like, yeah, that's me. That's what I'm doing.
Just to get out on your own for a little while.
I'm
just for your head, though.
Yeah, it does. It literally takes your mind off everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What other things have you been doing to keep yourself occupied during quarantine?
Well, I do love my cleaning.
And really? Are you a fan of Hinch? Mrs. Hinch, is it?
I am, though.
I love her.
I've got the Minkins and all that kind of stuff. But I was already into that way before. I was like, when I used to live at my mum and dad's, I'd love like having a full day of moving my room around and sorting my drawers out and cleaning my stuff and all that. So I've always been into it. But I love being able to think, right, I'm going to sort all my clothes out. So I did all my clothes the other day, sorted all my drawers, just like gave the house proper deep clean.
Did really you sort out your sock drawer? Have you got a sock drawer?
Of course, yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
Me and Charlotte sorted our sock drawer the other day and it nearly ended in divorce. It's just like, it's the most stressful thing because, one, I don't know where the socks go because I'll go to like the sports shops and I'll buy like, say if I'm playing football, I'll buy like some nice Nike socks or some Adidas ones or the ones that I like to wear for nice that if people can see.
Yeah.
Because if they can't, then I'm normally wearing like Pringle or Slazenger socks or some really cheap ones if they can't see them. But so I go and spend all this money on these Adidas and Nike socks and then they just disappear. I have no idea.
Are they disappearing in the washing machine?
Yeah, well, wherever they go. I just don't know where they go.
It's a mystery. It's an actual mystery. Nobody knows.
Yes, but it's annoying. So we saw out this sock drawer and it's just like, Charlotte's fishing through one big pile and I'm like, have you found a Nike one? She's like, no, but I've got a half-length Adidas one here. And it's like, oh, it genuinely took us about...
You must have a lot of socks.
So many.
Yeah, I've got a lot of socks.
Have you?
Yeah, I've got socks that I've had for years as well that really... That's probably a good job.
To sort out your socks, you know the socks that have got holes in.
Yeah.
You know, and like you just think, oh, I can't be bothered to sort through them. Now's the time to be getting rid of things that you know.
Yeah, literally, we've got a golden opportunity now, haven't we, to like just clear our whole house out. Like if I showed you under my stairs, the state of the cupboard under the stairs, oh my God, it's horrific.
Everyone's got one.
Yeah.
Everybody's got that Monica cupboard. That you just don't want
to
go into.
I like the name of that.
Has everyone got the cupboard that's just full of shit as well? Like
I've got a shit drawer in the kitchen.
Have
yeah,
you got a shit drawer. Yeah.
And that's what we call it as well.
You just throw everything in and
yeah, like tape measures and like the odd screwdriver and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think you need that though. I think you need that in life because like you say, because I've got my toolbox upstairs in the loft, and I've got bits in the shed or whatever. But I know that there's a tape measure and a screwdriver that'll fit most stuff in that shit drawer. So, you know, and then there's like toothpicks in there. There's like just the most.
But you know where they are, don't you? When they're in the shit drawer, you know where they are.
You know where it is, yeah.
Yeah. So organising's been good. And I've started a few jigsaws.
But I was in a jigsaw game before this happened.
You're OG in the jigsaw game.
You carried on doing them from when you were younger?
Well, not from when I was younger. One of my best mates is like mad into a jigsaws and we did one together not that long ago. It was really hard. It was the world, like a map of the world. Do you think about them Atlantics? That's a lot of blue.
So
you're looking for the shapes instead of the pictures.
Yeah, so it took us about 11 hours and since then I just really got into it. And then we started Line of Duty 6, obviously only a few weeks back. And we had one on set.
A jigsaw on
set. So when you're a rider, isn't it?
Vicky McClure will not come to set unless you have a jigsaw.
We brought it in. But then it was just one of them where you know, there's a lot of waiting around. So we're all in the green room, like trying to do this jigsaw. And do you know what I find so frustrating? Is it still on set, unfinished?
Oh, no.
Oh, God. And then I had one in my flat. In Belfast, so I was, and that's still on my table, unfinished.
When you say jigsaw,
I kind of imagine you in the back garden with a DIY jigsaw, your glasses on, cutting and cord like.
Do you know what? It's going to be nice on Sunday, so I'm hoping to do a bit of. I haven't got that kind of equipment, but I do want to have a little bit of a potter.
I wish I was more more of a handyman because I like to say it's because I've been working since I was a kid. I was only 13 when I was working, so I was busy all the time. So I never had time to learn how to build things, do like DIY stuff. But like with times like this, I think, oh, I wish I could just, you know, build something in the back garden or even just sort the back garden. But I don't know. I ain't got a clue what I'm doing. So I'm just like,
what would you want to be doing? What do you want to do?
In a dream world, in an ideal world, I would like to be able to build like a bar or an outhouse, just like a wooden shell of something in the back garden. In a dream world, I wish I could do that, but I wouldn't have the.
Do you know
but
what? Now's the time to learn.
Yeah, but you can't just learn because you're ordering materials, expensive materials that I'm just going to waste.
Yeah, Do you know what? Loads of people, though, they do it just out of, like, pallets. Like, loads of people have got, like, pallet pubs and stuff. Do you know what I mean? They just buy a load of pallets. You don't need to, you know,
get
off stuff.
I made, like, an outside corner couch from pallets, and I'm the same as you, Tom. I'm like, that is a brilliant excuse that I'm going to use every time now the missus asks me to do something. Because we've been working since... working since I was 15.
No, I mean, like, I was on set when I was 13 years old. When did I have time to learn how to build a bar? When did I learn how to hang a shelf?
Boys.
I know. I'm the most domesticated man. I think Charlotte, as the marriage goes on, she's sort of realising that I'm not very good at much. If you want me to do you a short film or DJ at your christening, I can do that. But I can't hang... I always think that with in Grimsby, because it's such a small place. If you ever need any favours, like, you know a mechanic or you know a plumber. And I always think I've called in so many favours over the years. And not once have they gone, Tomo can do that. Not once. Oh, yeah. And I just feel...
I'd love to be able to, because my dad's a joiner and he's a proper perfectionist. I really wish that, like, I'd got the skills to do it, because sometimes I just want to put a shelf up. Do you know what I mean? And I just think, I can't be bothered to ask somebody to come around and do it. I just want to do it. Like, you know, if I want to move something, I remember doing this not long ago. There was a wardrobe in my spare room that I wanted to put in our room, and I dragged it, like, because I just thought, I can't be bothered to wait for Johnny to get back. I just want it moved now. And I got trapped. What? No, just because of, like, the way that I'd moved it. And then I was trapped. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to drag it all the way back to be able to get round the other side. But
it's like human origami.
I'm just getting, I want that water. And I did it. And I managed it. And it absolutely killed me. But I was like, I don't care how heavy it is. I'll move it. I'll figure it out.
It's a good sense of relief when you get something like when I say, right, I must do this. I must, even cutting the grass is I hate doing that. So I always say, well, I hate doing it. And I go, I'll get round to it. I'll do it on Friday. And then Friday comes and I'll go, okay, well, I'll do it on Saturday. I'll do it on Sunday. And then when I finally do it and I stand at my back door and I look at my grass and I'm like, that's absolutely mint. I should get, I say it every time, oh, I'm going to keep on top of that. That's it. We just keep on top of it, Shal, and it'll be easy. And it's horrific out there. It looks like a forest.
We all say it.
Yeah, I'm going to keep on top of it. My thing is what you just said then about your dad is I'm just not a perfectionist. I can do things, like I can paint.
Yeah.
I can decorate a little bit, but I'm just not like, if I paint a bit and it's not bang on perfect, I'm kind of like, no one's going to see that. No one's going to notice that. Where my wife's like, no, that needs to be done really well. And I'm just like...
The problem with painting, though, is there's more preparation involved than you think. In your head, you go, I really feel like painting, so I'm just going to get some paint out of the shed and repaint that cupboard or that wall or whatever. And then you think, oh, God, I've got to tape it all.
Yeah.
And then you've got to sand it, and then you've got to prime it, and then you've got to... And before you know it, you're like, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, I'm done with this.
It's too late.
And then you get a man in. You get a man in to
get a man in.
That's my answer to anything. I just go, just get a man in. It's fine.
Get a man in. Shall it start? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, a real man in the house. Yay.
not this boy who's been working since he was 13.
Come on.
You can't be good at everything.
You can't.
No, that's it. You are good at what you're good at.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah.
That's what I like to say.
Yeah.
As long as you can turn up on set and pretend to be a builder, you're fine. As long as you know how to hold a saw, you're all right.
That's the art part, isn't it?
Someone will just tell you.
Yeah, when you do, when you've got an acting job and you have to seem like you're a complete professional or whatever it is you're doing. I remember I had to cut a chicken on stage live every night when I did that play at the Playhouse. And I was just like, I'm going to chop my finger off one night. I'm sure of it. I'm just going to do the wings, do the breast and do this. I was like, I had to learn how to cut a chicken up.
Oh, my God. It's good. It's good when, like, I got asked to do something or something came around, and it was about a part where I worked in a butcher's, and I remember speaking to Stephen Graham about it. And he was like, and he was like, right, well, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go to your local butcher's, you're going to explain the situation, and you're going to say to him, can I come in on a Saturday morning? Can I work for you? Can I get to learn it all? And I'm like, Oh, I don't know, Steve. I don't know.
Saturday, I play FIFA.
I'll just wait till I get there in the morning and then they'll tell me how to hold the knife and I'll know what to say.
What,
but I guess that's why Steve Graham's flying.
Yeah, because he just seems to understand everything, doesn't he, Steve, when he's on set. I did a short film with him last year and we were playing chefs.
That. It was brilliant.
Boiling Point.
It's all right. Yeah. It's a nice little film. They've just finished doing the feature now, which is great. So that'll be cool. But I was going to say then, Vic, what about like, obviously, with like Line of Duty? Because I know you took the mick out of it for sport relief, but there's a lot of like FIBs and UHTs and all that kind of jazz.
UHTs.
That's milking it. You can tell we're in lockdown.
Everyone's on the UHT milk, aren't they?
But do you have to learn what all that is? Because obviously LOL says stuff that Mickey says. But, you know, in Line of Duty, it's completely different, isn't it, I guess?
We genuinely do have to know everything. You just do, because...
And you want to then Google anything to understand it properly so you know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, we've got, like, Jed, who writes it, is just, like...
He's incredible.
Yeah, he is. His mind is, like, you know, just insane. And he knows what he's writing. Do you know what I mean? He's never going to write something that he doesn't understand or he hasn't checked out with a police advisor or whatever. So you go to him and he'll give you an answer for everything. So 9 times out of 10, I'll just, like, text Jed going, and that means what? I haven't got a clue.
Because it does... Sorry, go on.
No, it's just, you do have to, like, it's just really hard work. Mm. I call it Lines of Duty. And I know that's a really boring old joke, but it's just, it really defines what we have to do. And it's like, you know, it can be a bit of a memory test. Because some of the feels, you're kind of reading through the script and then all of a sudden you see a chunk of dialogue that big.
I remember when we was doing... I think we was doing 86 or 88 and you was just going over there. I think it might have been for Service 2.
It was 88.
And I remember speaking to you on the bus and you were saying that how much, I think you had like a 12-page monologue or something that you had to learn.
Wow.
And it's just
the interview
like...
scenes, they're just like...
All of the interview stuff,
I think the longest one we had was like 28 pages or something like that. And...
You think about it, like the scene that we did, the dinner table scene in This Is England 88, when people think, oh, well, that was like an hour long take. And it's like,
but
you didn't have to learn anything for that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like. They're crying and silent. Oh, my God. What am I going to say? Help me.
It's
completely different.
But it's just all. I'm one of them that when I'm reading something, if I see a line or something that I don't understand, I've got to Google it and I've got to understand what it is, you know, to get your head around it so you know exactly what you're on about.
Yeah.
So kind of guess we're really blessed with that on This Is England, aren't we? That a lot of it's, I'd say 99% of it's improvised, isn't it?
I'll tell you what I think I'd really struggle with is a medical drama.
Medical.
I mean, you know, when you think of all the words and medicines, like, I know the police jargon is hard word, but I've kind of got a lot of it wrapped around my head now. And also, I could give you the regs right now. That is, like, right in my head.
I'm not going to pay a lot of money.
It's one of those things that everybody probably knows that because you've heard it on the telly that many times.
Yeah, what's the regs? You don't have to say anything, all that stuff. Is that
you
what
you don't have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not question when, if you do not mention when questioned something, you later rely on a court, and anything you do say may be used in evidence. I don't know if that's right
there
now.
You go.
Anyway, medical drama is different.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
My wife, if it ever comes, we don't watch it, but if it ever comes on, stuff like Casualty or something like that, my wife will sit there and go, that wouldn't happen. That wouldn't happen. That wouldn't happen. Everything. And it must be so hard for like the actors, the script writers and everything to get it bang on. Yeah. But still sitting there be like, no, that's not real. That's not, you know, you don't do CPR like that. You've got to break the ribs and all that. I'm like,
The one episode that absolutely blew my mind of Line of Duty was the one with Daniel Mays. Was it series 2, episode 1?
3, I think Danny was in.
3. Yeah, the one with Danny Mays and he's got that mind where he doesn't forget anything. And it, like, I remember Danny telling me about that when I worked with him on Swimming With Men. And he said that he literally had to remember 10 pages of dialogue, but it's bang, 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 bang. No space to...
Yeah.
You've got no space to make any mistakes. And I just think...
No, and the thing is, what you don't want to do is be the one to make the mistake. Because if you're in an interrogation scene, you're pretty much going to be in that sort of glass box for, like, say, 30, 45 minutes. Poor sound guy. You know, holding the booth.
So you're literally doing 30-minute takes,
and
really.
You do the whole thing from start to finish.
Oh,
because Lenny James started that when we did the first series. We had some scenes like that, and he was like, you know, he wanted to do it start to finish and make sure that it built the tension, and it's the right thing to do for the scene. But my God, you don't want to be sat there panicking, thinking, I don't know my next line, I can't remember it. Like,
because when you start to think about it, that's when it starts melting your mind, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, because it's when you start panicking, and sometimes, like, the person opposite you's done their big spiel, and then I kind of sometimes find myself there, like,
because I'm thinking about it. It happens, like, naturally. You just freeze. You know, it's impossible to go, especially on something like Line of Duty, because we're doing so many scenes a day. So you've got, like, you know, let's say you've got 7 scenes that day, and they could all be from different episodes. You've got different types of dialogue with different people, and you've got to be well prepared for it. There's going to come a point in the day where you're like, I don't know anymore. What's my line?
It's so strange doing that, because the job that I'm on at the moment, we were shooting it in blocks. What we do is we'd shoot like 2 scenes from episode 4, and then we'd go and shoot a scene from episode 8, and then you'd go do 1 from episode 10, and then back to 1. And then it's like, you just don't know where you are. You don't know, like, because in a way you have to really think about the journey that your character's gone from what he is from episode 1 to what he is to episode 10. And then it's like, you have to just adapt straight back into that. You know, it's kind of like, it boggles your mind a little bit, doesn't it?
When you shoot, like, an exterior scene, and then the interior scene's like the week later. So, like, if you're stood outside a door shouting at someone inside, and then they do the reverse the week later.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that boggles my head. I'm like, well, I can't remember exactly how I did it last week.
You've just got to trust, haven't you, in, like, script supervisors and everyone that's around you going, right, Louise, talk to me. Where are we?
God, imagine the script supervisor when we was doing, like, 86 and stuff. Oh, my God.
Oh,
it was Juliet? It was Juliet. Yeah, Juliet. Yeah. Oh, she had on her hands, bless her.
I know. Vicky, you didn't lift your arm at the same time. Ah, doesn't matter.
I wonder how far into the job she realised that stuff like that really doesn't matter with Shane.
Yeah. No, I know. Do you know what? It's great because there's so many. I remember I've sat in the edit with Shane a few times when we was doing, like, the series and stuff, and just found it fascinating, like, how things that you would naturally notice on some programs where you'll go, oh, that was like a bit of a dodgy edit, or, you know, you could tell that was a different cut because of props or whatever. I don't know why. It was just, I very rarely noticed it in This Is England, because I think there was such a freedom of it to just be involved in the character and in the story, and you're kind of not too distracted by other things.
Yeah, and he's got a great way of shooting around Shane, and he's got he really accommodates and trusts his actors, so it's kind of like, it's a real treat for us, isn't it? Because you haven't got to remember when you scratched your face and things like that. It's kind of, you get more time to sort of be more involved.
Yeah. Oh, this is England. Do you think we'll go back?
I think so. Me and Andy did a podcast last night for someone else, for a film thing, and we got asked a lot about This Is England, and someone said, well, like, where would it go, and what do you think could happen? And I was like, I don't know. I think 90 was such a good place to leave it. I think it was a great place to leave it. But
I know, he said that. I'm like, fuck off, Tomo. I've got 2 mouths to feed and a mortgage, mate. We're doing 5 more.
I'm on a Sky One series, baby. I'm only saying that at the minute.
Oh, he's gone.
Wait till next year, and I'm like, I'm ringing Shane.
He has been working in this industry since he was 13, Gadge.
Yeah, true.
No, but I think as a fan and as a viewer of the show, I think it is a great place to leave it. But there's no doubt that what Shane would do would be.
I know the idea.
Oh,
of course you do. Of course you do.
How about that? Now you're
going to
be in it.
Well, you've not.
I said, well, where would Sean be? And I was like, he'd probably be on a beach in the Bahamas with loads of jet skis. He'd probably, probably be on a beach in Cuba somewhere. I don't know, just living his best life, yeah.
Gadget's real dad is Hugh Hefner, and he's just found out. Goes to the mansion, you know.
Trudian, I love you.
Yeah, Trudian.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it would be good, wouldn't it? But imagine, like, I don't know. Imagine if one of us didn't do it and we were sat at home thinking, just think of all the fun they're having in Sheffield. I'm sat at home with Disney Plus. Like,
that's how I felt in 90, because I was supposed to die, and I was like, at the beginning of it, I was like, yeah, that's brilliant, I want that. And then halfway through, when everyone was talking, because what they're talking at one point about a spin-off with Flip and Higgy and stuff like that. And I was like, oh no, like, Gadget's got to be in that spin-off, or like, don't let me die.
I can't imagine you die. It was too much. Too sad.
Yeah.
I have to have a happy end.
So what else... What does your day-to-day entail during these terrible times?
I'm not going to lie. It starts with putting on the news.
Yeah.
And I know it's... And I've really tried to cut it down because it can get into your head a bit. But I'd rather be informed. And, you know,
right,
I think...
Because there's a lot of bullshit on social media. Like that,
yeah,
you know.
Just trying to stay away from that side of things. So yeah, get up, watch the news, have a cup of tea. Unlike, you know, that there has been the odd day when I've been a bit, you know, put my snood on and not shower for a while. But just getting up in your bed. These are really simple things that will just sound stupid, but making your bed and having a shower just give you a sort of chance to give yourself something to do with the day. Do you know what I mean? Because otherwise, if you just don't make your bed and you stay in your pajamas and you're just sort of like mulling about, you will find yourself just kind of like losing the day, which is fine. Like, I've done there's been times
guilt-free
when...
It's guilt-free at the minute.
Yeah, there's no rules on this. There's no right or wrong. You know, people are going to have really hard days and people are going to have days that are really productive and, you know... It's just going to be a matter of getting through it and getting through it together. And, you know, I know everybody's saying it, and I'm not saying it for effect, like for a podcast. I'm saying it to my mates. Like, it's heartbreaking watching all these people that are losing their loved ones and watching people in the NHS and on the front line and people that are going out to work. It's just really frustrating not being able to have the skills to provide, to do your bit. You know, I think that's really frustrating. That's played on my mind a bit, because you go, well, what can I do?
Yeah, you know? I guess it's kind of difficult, isn't it? I mean, it's such a, you know, because Charlotte, my wife, she goes out every morning and she goes to nursery and she looks after the kids all day and comes home. And it's kind of like, you feel like she's got a bit of a purpose, whereas now it's kind of like you said, you just sort of, you feel sort of useless, don't you, in a way? Yeah. But then, having said that,
Staying in is like one of the biggest things we can be doing. Exactly. And we're all contributing by doing that and making sure we just stay.
And just doing our bit to spread awareness on social media. And just, I've started to play a lot of people off Instagram and things like that. I've been getting people off Instagram and playing them on FIFA and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, nice.
What I'd never normally do, because I sort of always use my Xbox just for me and my mates, whereas I think, if people are sat at home bored, if I can just give someone a game of FIFA, if that gives them something for the day,
yeah, that's amazing. That,
you know what I mean? That might help them a little bit, cure a bit of boredom, and it helps me as well. So I guess we can just sort of, I mean, the main thing for me is just sort of trying not to melt into my computer games all day, which is one of the reasons why we got the podcast back up, isn't it, Anne? Because it keeps us productive and we're getting to catch up with friends. And you know what? Like, the amount of people that I'm catching up with on my phone and stuff and FaceTime, and it's actually, like me and Andy were saying before, in a weird way, we're sort of enjoying the time at home with our families and being able to just sort of reflect and just, you know, but it's just a bit tough, isn't it, knowing that you can't go out and do the things that you would normally do day to day.
Yeah, like we were saying, like, you know, I'm quite I feel horrible, guilty in not saying it, but I'm actually quite enjoying the quarantine because I'm spending time with my family. You know, we've got my two girls at home at the minute.
Well, you shouldn't feel guilty about making the best of the situation.
No. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, like I say, I'm enjoying it. At the minute, my wife's off as well because we've had to self-isolate because my little girl had a temperature the other week. She's fine now. I'm enjoying it. Like, we're getting up every morning. We're exercising with our oldest, doing the Joe Wicks, like I said before. We're doing a schoolwork with her. We're having a little week off this week. It should be Easter holidays. But, you know, we're doing stuff like that. And then, you know, we're both putting the kids to bed and watching TV. It's just really nice.
It's so surreal, and it's so unlikely for this to, like, no one would have ever thought this was going to happen.
Never
going to expect for this to happen again. Like, we just, nobody's prepared. So you've got to try, you know, for your mental health as much as anything, you've got to really try and, like, find some pleasure out of it somewhere, you know what I mean? Even if it's just the fact that you're with your loved ones, or you know, you can get into a hobby that you couldn't before, or whatever it is that you can do that you can try and keep saying, like everyone keeps saying, gotta try and do it. And it's lovely that you get to spend time with your kids, you know, in a way that you haven't before. Like,
you were saying yesterday, weren't you, Anne, that it's going to be the summer that all kids are going to remember, that as, like, you know, mummy and daddy was at home for months, and it was amazing. And that's the kind of the memories that, you know, the kids are going to grow up loving and cherishing, because, bless them, they're so sort of like, they're so like far away from knowing what anything that's going on at the minute. And it's kind of sweet that you can give them something good out of it, you know.
Yeah.
I love what's happening with the community.
Love it.
I mean, you know, just obviously these claps that we're doing on Thursday nights and stuff are lovely. And you're waving at neighbours that you've never spoke to before. And everybody's like doing little things, and you just, like, you know, I joined the community groups on Facebook when they started for, like, your area. And you're just seeing all these things that people are doing, and everybody's helping each other with this and that. And you just go, oh God, I love all that. Because I feel like that, because social media is like pivotal, and being able to do stuff like this is amazing. Everyone's like zooming and Skyping and doing everything, which is brilliant. But social media kind of, when it started to kick in, it meant that communities were sort of lacking a little bit.
Yeah.
Everyone was in and technology was taking over. Whereas now we're kind of using, I feel like social media is being used in a positive way in lots of ways.
Yeah, which for a long time it hasn't been, has it?
Yeah, I feel like,
and even putting a social and even putting a bit of a social pressure on people to stay in as well. Like, I got mates on social media a couple of weeks ago where they weren't really getting it. You know,
I didn't get it. I didn't believe it. And, you know, in the first week, I was like, well, I don't think it's as bad as people are saying, lads. Like, we're going to be all right. And then suddenly, like, through the force of social media, personally for me, it's really put it into perspective, you know. Sorry, Andy, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, mate.
Just exactly what you say. there's so much, like, we're all friends. the social pressure, like, of that, you know, like I say, there's people on my Facebook who weren't really sticking to it. There was one person who was saying, I'm going out, I'm having a drink, we're all going to the park, I don't care if the pubs are shut. And then a couple of days later, you kind of saw that everyone else was like, we're staying in, I'm staying in. There's a friend of mine who is, like, renowned for being out every weekend. His dad owns, like, the pub where we all go and that. And even he was like, I'm not going out tonight, I'm staying in. It's like, well, if he can stay in, guys, everybody can stay in.
Do you know what? Shout out to Brad. Back, like, the topic of this show. Because, like we were saying, like, it's overrated going out.
Yeah. And at the moment in time, especially. But
before this all happened, like, I am the sort of person that does like to stay indoors. Like, I don't, you know, I've been going out for years. I've done it. And I've kind of, like, got my fancy out of it. And then when I feel like going out, or there's a wedding, or there's a reason to go out, then I'm really up for it. Do you know what I mean? I haven't got the sort of urge to be out every Friday or Saturday night. Can't be asked to stand and, like, queue and be barging past and all that sort of stuff. I've just, you know, I just don't want to do it on a regular basis anymore. And I love being home. I love being at home with Johnny and, you know, my family and stuff. So when this come about, you think to yourself, oh, you know, this will be all right. I'm used to it. And for those that really like to go out, you know, yeah, it's going to be tough. But I see my sister and my nephews every day when I'm home. And I just can't see them. And it's torture. That's the worst part for me is...
I think I agree. The worst thing...
literally down the road. And yet, you know, when people don't get it, which, you know, it's took a bit of time for some people to understand, like, the severity of it and just, like, literally you can't even see your family. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to just completely... Segregate yourself from everybody. And you go, oh, but not my sister and my nephews. It's like, yeah, everybody. Yeah. And that's for me has been, that's what I'm finding the hardest.
I think the same, but we're the same. Charlotte's mum wasn't very well. Who's obviously my mother-in-law. She wasn't very well over the last year. So she's classed as high risk. So we've been told that we're not allowed to see her for 12 weeks. And Charlotte and her mum are the closest of close.
They are, yeah.
And it's like, and particularly with her not being very well over the last couple of years, it really brought us as a family so much closer. So for us not to be able to see Judith is like, it's heartbreaking. It really, really is. But it's like, and even my friends, you know, my friend, he was in isolation. He still is, actually. And he needed some bits getting. So I went round and left him on the door for him because he had no other option. And even just seeing my mate through his window and not being able to give him a hug or... You know, it's just like, it's the most heartbreaking thing. But what I keep saying to people is at the end of the day, if you can do it now, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, all being well, come June, July, you know, you can be back in the pubs with your friends and you can go see your family and you can do everything that, you're so used to doing. But just for the time...
Yeah, we have to have hope.
Yeah.
And the reason that everybody is doing this is to save other people's lives. And that could be one of our family members. So, you know, and we're doing it for other people's family members. It's just, it just has to be a collective thing. And, you know, going out now and being able to do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, when that day does come, the gratitude we're all going to have.
Oh my God.
I really hope that we all end up feeling a bit like, right, wow, I'm not taking that for granted again. I'm not
Even going. Even going to the shop, even going to Tesco
and normal. Tesco now is really weird, isn't it?
I've not done it yet. I've not been allowed to, so I've not been
strange.
To
it. So weird.
I mean, you know, we're going like literally when we are running out of food and the essentials. And yet I went, I think it was last week, and it was the queuing outside and then letting you in one by one. I mean, it's exactly what it needs to be and it makes me feel better. Because I'd rather that we're all, you know, making sure we're not near each other and the staff are safe and all that kind of stuff. But it's so, it's like being in a film.
It's bizarre. It's kind of like, I haven't had any other human contact other than my wife.
Johnny and Kate are staying with us, so that's lovely. Johnny's staying with us, so. That's been nice. So we've had a bit of girly time. But it's just us three.
Yeah, it's so bizarre, like I haven't touched another face for so long.
Why are you touching faces? Tomo, this is why it's spreading.
When we're out on the piss, mate, you know how it gets, you know. But that, but in a way, it's kind of nice that it's just been me and Charlotte. Like, I'm loving it because particularly for me, I guess I'm kind of lucky that I was away for 8 months, so we didn't really see much of each other. So this job come to an end, and now it's like I've got all this time to catch up now, and it's such a nice feeling. I guess we're really fortunate that every single day we make each other laugh, and we love spending time together. So I guess we're really fortunate in that. Yeah. Otherwise,
the worst part of my job is being away from home. Like that I find the hardest thing to deal with when you know you're going to be away. For 4 months or 6 months or however long it is, you know, you've got like a solid chunk of time that you've got to be away from home, living in hotels or whatever it be. So coming home and being told to just stay at home, in some ways you kind of go, oh, you know, that's fine, I can do that because I love being at home.
Yeah, yeah, we're really fortunate like that. Yeah. I guess we've been training for this for years, really, haven't we, as actors? We've been training. we've just been on our own, spending a lot of time on our own, and
yeah,
appreciating the things that we do have at home. We're kind of really lucky like that. But it was only recently, as I've got older on this job, I actually experienced what it was like to be homesick. Like, I never knew what that was like because,
well, I spoke to you, didn't I?
Yeah, well, we spoke, yeah. And I really wasn't feeling very well, and I was kind of, everything was bringing me down. And it's kind of weird because you think I'm on probably the biggest job I've ever done.
Bloody hell, Gad, what the hell is that?
Tomo keeps having big bottles of Avion water, and I feel like I should be drinking more water. So I bought that for the gym about a year ago and used it once.
Literally, I don't know if it was because of like the way it was in the camera. Sorry. It looked like you were picking up, you know, those ones that you get in like
a top of a water tank.
Yeah,
okay.
Was I?
Stay
hydrated.
Yeah, so on this job, it was kind of weird how I was feeling really down and not really understanding it all. But it's because now at my age, when I was a kid, I used to love being away and I used to love being in hotels because I used to love going out on the piss and I used to love doing all these things. Whereas now I'm just so happy and content at home. Yeah. And being away from that really, really freaked me out. And I just didn't know how to handle it. But,
you fall out of routines as well, don't you? Like, you forget what home, what you have to do at home and stuff like that. Like,
you know what I have found, though, and I don't know if anyone else has found this, but your house is not used to being lived in this much, this often.
No, our fridge is, like, we've got stuff in the fridge. We never normally have that.
But my tap broke, so I had to order a new tap. One of our windows is completely just like given up on us, so I'm like just don't open that window because the whole thing will probably fall through, you know. And the house is just not used to being used everything all day. I mean, I don't know how many times my kettle gets boiled.
Your kettle?
My kettle's non-stop, yeah, it's literally on all the time.
Yeah, I'm having 10 cups of tea a day probably. I should probably get some decaf tea bags and I'm gonna be off my tits.
No. you just go and I might have coffee now. And it's like a big thing.
How are you finding your food? Because I'm seeing online on social media, people are saying that they're going to come out of this like really fat because they're eating all these things. But how are you finding, like? But do you border meat or are you normally all right?
Am I bored of meat?
No, do you boredom eat? Do you eat because you're bored? Are you bored of meat? Boredom eat.
Boredom,
that's my fault.
I definitely boredom eat. But
boredom eat.
I'm just having to think of like other meals, you know, one of them where you just go, right, okay,
cooking's like the same.
I'm cooking every night, and obviously I'm cooking for me, Katie and Johnny, and you know, wanting to make sure we all have a nice meal. I mean, when I say that, it's like, you know, the other night we just had frozen pizzas, and then the night before that it was like it's beans on toast. Like, you can't be doing, you know, a nice dish.
Can't be having like big spag bowls.
No, because we haven't got enough in the fridge to do it because you know, we're not going to Tesco every other day. So
yeah,
I'm trying to just get to the point where there's very little left in the cupboards and then go back and do a replenish because I think it is. I think you've got to be a bit clever about it. I do find myself ringing my mum every now and then going, what would you do with this?
Yeah.
I don't know what the option is with that and that and how that
we're doing
out.
That with Judith. We're ringing and saying, like, so we've got this and we've got that and we've got this. What would you do? What would you make? Yeah. And you go, right, okay, so how do you make that? Can we FaceTime and you show us how to do it?
Also, I get paranoid about defrosting stuff. So I did get, like, obviously some meats, put them in the freezer. And you know when you're like, oh, is that going to be all right? Like, I get really paranoid about stuff like that.
Do you get them out the night before?
Yeah, no, I do. I get them out the night before, but defrost them in the fridge.
Yeah, because sometimes they can still be a bit cold, can't they, when you get them out and stuff like that. Yeah.
Things are normally cold when you come out of the fridge. That's normally how it tends to work.
Oh, but they're still a bit frozen sometimes.
Well, yeah, frozen and cold, different words. But that's all right. That's fine. It's getting to that point.
even the cooking, because I love cooking. I always have done since young.
You made me that steak.
I made you lobster once.
Yeah, didn't
make you what?
You made me lobster.
Someone never had lobster, so we
cooked lobster.
Yeah,
lobster. Oh my god! He makes his own.
Yeah, I love lobster, but I've never cooked it.
It was only like a frozen one from the supermarket. It wasn't like I went and picked which
still
one I wanted.
Very brave, that. Have you ever done scallops? I've never been brave enough to.
I've not done scallops. No, because they do make a noise, don't they? And that is that what you mean? Yeah, I remember when we were kids. My uncle lives used to live in Cumbria, Barrow in Furness, where most of my family come from, and we used to go cockling. Nice. You know, for little cockles, yeah. And then when you cook cockles, they scream, which is a bit weird. It's the air coming out of the shell as you're boiling them, so it makes it makes a little. And I remember hearing that as a kid and thinking, oh, and lobsters and stuff do the same. They're not. It's not the lobster going, the air coming, because I think it's still there.
Stop it, you bastard! Oh, we're all the Pascal vegetarians.
We've lost them now. We've lost them.
Noise food is not overrated, eh?
What's that? What's not?
Food.
Noisy food is not overrated.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, anything with a shell can scream.
Do you like things like black pudding?
I love black pudding.
I love black pudding.
Have you had white pudding?
Yeah, lovely.
While you're over in Ireland, right? Oh,
yeah,
white,
really
amazing.
Nice. Don't you like it, Tomo? Because of what it is?
I've just never been a fan of it. Been a fan. Just not.
What is your least favourite food? Mine's rice pudding. I think it's the food of the devil.
My least favourite food?
Like, what can't you eat?
You know what? When I was exercising a lot leading up to the wedding to lose a bit of weight for it, and I was eating really healthy and I was exercising every day, and the thing that came up all the time is avocado. Everyone was avocado is really good, it's a superfood. And the amount of times that I tried to get on with that, it just pissed me off.
Really?
The things that like you sort of train yourself to like I was eating a lot of tomatoes and cucumber and things that I wouldn't normally eat, but I knew that was good for you. Like, just eating a bowl of salad, and I was eating that a lot. Whereas avocado, I just tried and tried time and time again, and it's just not for me.
I don't think it came out of nowhere, didn't it? Everybody
loves
avocado. Kale.
I like kale.
Yeah, but, like, you know, they come out of nowhere, didn't they?
Fad diets.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of mango. Yeah.
Ah, interesting.
I just find it too sweet more than anything.
Yeah, I do like mango, but that was one of my subjects that I was going to pick as an overrated with the exotic fruits, because mango, pineapple, watermelon, all these fruits I do like, you can't just pick up a pineapple off to work and chuck them down. Do you know what I mean? They're art work.
They are.
Pineapples and mangoes especially, because they're so slippy.
Can you not buy them like ready made and things like that?
You can, but you know
that's
what I mean.
That's just the biggest rip-off in the world, isn't it?
It's just a massive rip-off, isn't it? In a piece of plastic that's just, you know, not very good for the environment.
Exactly.
I love watermelon, but I've never actually bought a watermelon to bring home. It's a good point, actually. But say if I'm at work or if it's like on a buffet or whatever, and there's watermelon, I will have a bit. But I've never bought a watermelon once when we was in Sheffield. Didn't we, Andy? In the Cremorne, and we just punched it. Remember when we bought all that?
It was me. I went, because it was you, my mate Jordan, and my mate Joe. And I went to the shop to get some fags or something. And one of them went, oh, get us something, mate. And I was like, what? They went, just surprise us. I was like, all right. So I got like someone had ginger, got someone a watermelon, someone had a kumquat or something. So like, you fucking dead surprised. And I sat there and ate a crunchy.
Yeah. So we were sat in this pub. Luckily, we knew the manager, but we was just randomly punching fruit in, weren't we? I don't know why. Random shit we got up to doing that job's mental, isn't it? Wow.
Crazy.
Well, yeah, we cannot tell.
Yeah. We've got the time. We're not allowed. Just quickly though, what do you think routine helps in staying in? Because I kind of, like you say before, it's nice to get your snuggy thing on and stuff like that. Like, I find like I have to get, because I don't hate being at home, but I'm one of them, me normally, that
you're very outdoorsy, aren't you? Very active.
If I'm having a lazy day and it gets to about 6 o'clock and I realise I've not left the house all day, I'll just turn around to my wife and be like, what do you want from the shop? I'm going to go shop. And she's like, why? We don't need that. And I'm like, I just need to walk to the shop. It's only 5 minutes just to get out of the house for a minute.
Yeah.
And I've not been doing that, and I've not been missing that now. And I think it's because I'm still kind of not having them lazy. I'm getting up. We're getting the kids ready. We're getting ready, getting showered, like say, doing the exercise, whatever. And then just kind of doing things in the day, not just, we're doing a lot of sitting down, watching TV and stuff like that because, you know, but. Do you think that helps the routine of doing?
I think it does. I mean, I've always been a firm believer in a list. I love my stationery, and I love writing a list, and I love being organised and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's something that I enjoy doing. Do you know what I mean? I get a bit of a kick out of that. Like, oh, I'm going to sort that out. And so I have been making a list when I've got stuff to do. But I think it's as important to have a day where you make a bit of a list, do some stuff, be productive, as it is to have a day of doing nothing and just slobbing around and watching Tiger King or whatever it is you choose to watch. I just watched Tiger King. Oh, my God.
We started watching it, but we fell asleep because we were shattered. But is it mental? What's going on? Everyone's loving it.
I mean, the thing is, it's one of those things, again, it was everywhere. And I was like, who is this guy? Like, why do I keep seeing Carol Baskin everywhere? And
it's happening to me now.
What's on today?
it's just like everybody's creating all these gifts and whatever. So, yeah, I started watching it, and then that was it. I was in, and that was me done for that day. But, you know, I fully achieved
really?
Yeah. I mean, I guess you have still got, because that's the danger as well, isn't it? Like, if you start thinking to yourself, right, I'm in the house, I have to be productive, I have to be doing stuff, then you're not resting as well, and you still should have a little bit of rest.
We are in the middle of a pandemic. Like, you're allowed to have days where you feel like shit chill. And you can't be creative. And, you know, there's going to be people that, you know, social media is brilliant because it's supportive and it feels like it's a bit kinder at the moment. But there'll be times when you'll be looking at somebody going, oh, my God, look at what they've achieved today and I've done fuck all. And it makes you just, there's no time for you having that kind of guilt at the moment. There's too much going on, there's much bigger things. Like, you've just got to be kind to yourself, that's it. And if you feel like doing stuff one day, I think the weather will help. When the weather starts to improve, you know, that will help. When you wake up in the morning, the sun's shining, you do feel a little bit more like you've got a spring in your step, whereas when it's been a bit grey recently. So I think it's just been a bit, you know, and we're just in the we're getting into the sort of thick of it now, aren't we? So
we had last week we had about 2 or 3 days where it was like really nice.
It was summer, wasn't it, like last week?
And we were in the garden, we were like, and I think that's when I think people will start to cope a lot better as well, because I love being out in my back garden. We're quite lucky, we've got quite a big back garden, and you know, we've got a space where we can, you know, deck in, we've got grass, we've got a path bit, so we've got everything we need really. The kids have got the trampoline and that, and I'm looking forward to getting out there, having a barbecue. And
We live on
top of each of everyone else, like everyone's gardens mixed. So I'm looking forward to getting the speakers out and having a party with everyone, you know.
Hey, have you seen some people have like taken a fence panel out of their garden so they can, you know, have a little
maybe I should do that with my neighbours.
Can we do that? Is that a good thing to do?
Yeah, because as long as you don't go into their garden, they're not in
and
your
you've
garden.
Got 2 meters.
It's just so you can see each other. I don't know. I don't know if I've broken the law there. If I have, I apologise. Do not remove your fence panels.
Put the panel down.
I think the rules say that as long as you're not
reading the right stick.
Exactly.
No, but that's the thing. I think everyone's just got to try and keep busy. And you know, if you want to have your days where you're just chilling and doing nothing. Like, my dad texted me the other day and he said, mate, I'm so fucking bored, I'm going to start Game of Thrones. That's it. I'm starting Game of Thrones. I was like, oh, yeah, thanks for supporting my work, mate, even though I was only in one. Yeah, but people are just catching
I've
up on the thing.
I've never watched Game of Thrones, Tommy.
Have you not?
I've
four
episodes.
Oh, I think you should watch eight series just for my one scene, just to support me. I think that's what you should do.
Yeah, I've never. Maybe now is the time. I will. I don't know.
Oh, mate, it's literally like when you get to the end of an episode, you're literally like, Oh my God.
Yeah. Your body, I mean, there's no denying it was like it took over the world. So I know that it's decent.
You physically, your mind and your body physically will not let you turn it off. Yeah. You have to, you will watch another one. You're like, your body just can't let you do it. Yeah, oh, it's mental. So good.
My wife doesn't like anything like that. Like any kind of, like, she likes Harry Potter, but anything with like knights and all that, she's just like, no. I convinced her to start watching Game of Thrones. I went back and started from the beginning, and she just loved it.
Like, really? Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's one of them. Even if you're not that into that kind of genre, it's still.
I think that's probably what does put me off a bit. But everybody I speak to that's watched it, obviously, absolutely like is obsessed with it. So
people don't go, oh, it's all right. People go either go, I love it, or I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
But I reckon that's a good time to wrap it up then, Vic. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on and having a nice, you know.
Nice to see you, babe.
Yeah, and it's one of them. We wanted to make this, because it's our first one back, me and Tom will probably say this at the beginning before we get into the chat with you, because it's our first one back, you know, we wanted the nation's favourite, you know, LOL. We wanted LOL here to tell the nation to fuck. Stay home,
do as you're told. We've been trying to do it for a while, so it's nice we've finally got around to it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I miss you both. I can't wait to see you. Yeah,
we should all have a big reunion when this is over, but we'll sort it out in the group chat.
100%. I was about to say that seems to
I still need to add Johnny into that chat, and I'll do that in a minute. Sorry, Johnny.
All right, bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Well, that was great. I really enjoyed that.
It was a nice chat, wasn't it? As you know, we've been recording now for a couple of days, haven't we? And every chat's, you know, we kind of said, didn't we? We don't want to make this all about the current situation. However, at the time of recording, we're in like week two of social distancing, so a lot of people are going to be talking about it, but I think we're in this for the long run, and I think
and it was very much a message, wasn't it? That like it was trying to spread a positive message that, you know, you don't need to feel guilty about watching Finding Nemo all day. You can just chill. You can and you can just enjoy the time with your family if you get to see them. If not, don't worry. You know, at the moment it's only 12 weeks if you're having to stay apart, but 12 weeks isn't a lifetime. You know, it's going to be a tough 12 weeks, but after that, you know, think of all the good times that you will be able to have, what, you know, when all said and done and we can go back to normality. I really, really, really appreciate, you know, what we had, and that we really shouldn't take it for granted. which is, I think, the message that we got across.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that's it, isn't it? Hold on to that as well, because imagine what it's going to be like when everything kicks into gear. Like I think Vicky said in the chat then, like, you know, taking things for granted.
Yeah.
Going to the supermarket, I don't think you say, don't you? I don't think I'll ever take that for granted again, but who knows? Do you know what I mean? It's one of them. We are humans and we get used to things very quickly, but yeah, even just going around the supermarket with my little girls again, like putting a little girl in a trolley and spinning around on the trolley and things like that, or going and having a pint in the pub, just going in the pub.
Going to Nando's,
you know what I mean? If you want to give us the black card for when it kicks off again.
This is a real tough time for Nando's lovers. Nando's lovers nationwide. It's a tough time, but you know what?
You can get the sauces, make some chicken at home.
It's not the same.
What you have to do, if you want to make it similar, it's nothing to do with how you cook the chicken. You've just got to get Charlotte to stand at the door and ask you, have you been here before?
Have you ever been to Nando's before? Yeah.
Have you ever been to Nando's?
And I tell you what.
Oh, yeah, you've got a thing.
This might deter him away from ever getting me a black card, but we can have that on the table. But the people,
I think you should do it.
My friends stole me a couple of the chickens that they give you on the tables. I didn't steal
my friends. I mean, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, again, there's a lot of things we're all going to miss. Luxuries, go to Nando's, it's a luxury, we don't need it. We can get a chicken, we can cook a chicken or a veggie option or whatever you have at Nando's. You know, everyone's having a bad time. I spoke to my mum the other day and my mum was like, I'm going nuts, I can't, you know. My mum lives in a caravan and she was like, I'm just getting so bored of being in the caravan. And I'm like, mum, like, you live in a caravan, like, you've always wanted to live in a caravan, enjoy like a good couple of month caravan holiday. Just relax. Like, she's out there in like nature. Yeah. Like, it's beautiful, you know.
It is hard to just relax because it is hard. But you're not alone. You know, there's so many people out there that are doing it, and you know, rightly so. But at the end of the day, just think about it. I put it into perspective. Someone said to me, "Would you do 12 weeks in jail to save someone who you love's life?" And I was like, without a doubt. Without a doubt, I would do 12 weeks in jail to save my mother-in-law's life. So, I mean, I'm not in jail. Fortunately, I'm at home, like the listeners now, and they've got, you know, they've got things to keep them entertained and read a book and things like that. So, you know, at the minute it's only 12 weeks. So, you know, get to the end of that and then see where we are. You know, we're just very fortunate that we've got the things that we've got at home. And I guess that's another thing, really, for me, is it's made me really appreciate how lucky we are to have the things that we've got at home and things like that.
The technology, you know, I think we said this on one of the other podcasts, but just to reiterate the thing again, you know, if this would have happened in the 80s or the 90s, it'd have been a lot harder. Even the early 2000s, like, you know, the fact that it's happened now where we can Skype, we can FaceTime.
Yeah.
You know, my children get to see the grandparents every day. Probably see them more, like, see the faces more now than they do anyway, I guess. So,
yeah.
Take the positives away from it, guys. And obviously, we're not daft. We know a lot of people will be out there. You know, it's not good for your mental health. It might not be good for your mental health, but you can still stay proactive. You can still, you know, do stuff, like Vicky says, set yourself tasks, give yourself lists. Get up in the morning, get dressed, get ready. If you want to take a day off, take a day off, just chill out. Say, watch Finding Nemo or Tomo's back catalogue.
But no, just going back to, obviously, we understand that there's people in less fortunate positions than us. But, you know, there is help out there for people. And just going back to what we were saying, anything that we do make off this podcast at the moment, we will be donating it all to the local charities, and, you know, just trying to give a little something back, because as we mentioned in the podcast, we sort of feel a bit not useless, but, you know, It is tough knowing that that there's not really much that we can do. So, you know, whether it be fucking £20, £100, £200, everything that we do make will be going to the local charities and food banks and things like that. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah. And that's you know, obviously through the Patreon, and it is, I figured it out now, it's patreon.com/overrated everything. But if you can, you know, watch over on YouTube as well, and listen in. If we get enough listens and enough kind of views and that, I think
tell
that
your can friends. Generate,
yeah, that can generate a bit of an income, and then we'll send that off to where it needs to go. Because yeah, like Tomo said, you know, we feel a bit useless in this, so let's try and help any way we can. But yeah, that was episode one then, guys. So we've already recorded a fair few up to now, and we've got another
some amazing guests, by the way. Oh my God, it's actually mental that some of the
because we can get people now, innit? So it is actually brilliant.
Yeah, we're so lucky to get some of the people that we've got. And again, to anyone who is listening, we're really appreciative of the time, not only for our next guest, for our previous guests as well. We really appreciate you taking the time and giving you guys something to listen to. So thank you very much. And I guess we'll see you same time next week.
See you next week. Thank you very much.
See you next week.